This is Bronco Tuesday, taking a look at Boise State Athletics with coaches and players. Now here's Bob Beeler, Chris Walton, and Paul Jay on the home of the Broncos, 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, it's a Bronco Tuesday. Chris, Paul Jay, and Bob Beeler. We're joined by wrestling, Boise State Wrestling today. Coach Mike Mendoza is here, along with a couple of Centennial High School alma maters, Austin Dewey and Dakota Wall. You guys named after places, huh?
I guess. Yeah. Not the intention.
Not the intention. Coach, you had the scrimmage the other day, the blue and orange scrimmage. How'd that go?
It went really well. I was impressed with the guys wrestling. You know, when you wrestle this scrimmage, these guys are wrestling each other, and you know, they wrestle each other in the room all the time, so they kind of know each other's moves, and so they can tend to freeze up a little bit, but they got after it, and it was a good debut.
Austin, you're the veteran. You're the senior on this team, so you've been to the Cowboy Open, where you guys have traditionally opened the season. It'll be this weekend in Laramie. Tell us a little bit about the tournament. It's one that sounds like it's pretty big, and how it is for a wrestler to wrestle with so many different other wrestlers.
Yeah, it's man, it's a tough tournament. Not many people know that in Laramie, we're at 7,000 feet, so we're almost triple what we're at right now, and let me tell you, it makes it really, really hard, not only just to wrestle, but just to breathe. So it's definitely a really tough tournament. I think it's a great opener for us. We get to see a bunch of different kinds of talent. I mean, we get different kinds of schools. Sometimes we get really big schools. So it makes it really good for all of us and everyone on the team to see who we're going to see maybe down the line in the year, maybe at the NCAAs or maybe early off at some other tournaments like at Vegas. But I think it's a great opener, and it's a mental toughness tester at that elevation.
Any pressure to avenge what happened in Laramie just a couple of days ago?
I mean, a little bit, but man, it's like I said, it's real tough. So I really hope we can go down there and really just start kicking some butt. I mean, I would love to for the football boys.
Dakota, this is a tournament where there's a lot of different schools. So how many matches might you wrestle, and how do you prepare for so many bouts in such a short amount of time?
I think you probably wrestle about four matches. It's about a 32-man bracket, and basically you just want to make sure that you get a good warm-up, and you go out there and you just wrestle your match, and then afterwards you want to make sure and get a good cool-down so that you can kind of recover and be active afterwards.
All right, 20 different teams will be there, including three Western Wrestling Conference rivals, Air Force, Northern Colorado, Utah Valley. Of course, you guys from the Pac, is it the Pac-12?
Yep.
You still call it the Pac-12. Do they all wrestle? How many teams in the Pac-12 wrestling?
Six.
Aha. But it's still called the Pac-12. Yep. All right. So when you wrestle 20 different schools at once, there's no way you can scout these guys, right?
No, not really. I mean, when the brackets come out, you can, you know, of course, you got to take it one match at a time, but you know, after your first match, you'll know, you know, and you'll be able to see. Sometimes the match right next to you, is the winner of that match will be your opponent, so you can kind of watch in that way, kind of scout. But yeah, it's bracketed out. You can kind of pay attention, but you're kind of focusing on the match right in front of you.
Coach Mendoza, what's the difference in preparing, maybe physically and mentally as well, for one of these tournaments where you're going to have, you know, four matches, as Dakota said, in a very short amount of time, versus maybe on a Saturday in January where you're going to have one match, it's a dual match, and you have one guy, you know who it's going to be, and that's who you're wrestling?
Yeah, it's a lot different. And when you're in a tournament, you're wrestling, you know, obviously a number of guys, and you don't know who is going to come through the bracket along with you and where, you know. You just take it one match at a time when you're in a tournament. You focus on the things that Dakota was talking about, where, you know, you're preparing the right way for your match. And, you know, afterwards you're getting a good cool down and you're focusing on wrestling, you know, a full day. So it's a lot different than wrestling just one match where you're focused on one guy, where a lot of times, you know, you can scout that guy and prepare specifically for one guy.
Dakota, how do you feel? I mean, do you look for Austin for advice on what the thing's going to be like? Or I know anybody who's wrestled has been to state tournaments where 100 matches going on at one time. How do you get ready for your first big event?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I ask Austin for advice on a lot of things because he's kind of been my mentor even throughout high school. We went to Centennial, and it's just been a good time with it. But preparing for my first big event is just kind of, I got to make sure to not overthink things and just kind of go out there and make sure I wrestle me.
Yeah, I like that. I wrestle me. Is that kind of the advice, Coach?
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't micromanage yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, focus on your skill set and your strengths and wrestle your match. I mean, that's what you're in control of. So, yeah, Dakota's got it right.
Austin, you had a good season last year as a junior, 120 matches during the course of the season. What are you looking for this year to be better as a senior that maybe you know now that you didn't know the first couple of years you were here?
I think my biggest challenge that's always probably held me back has been mental toughness, because a lot of times people forget, like, when you're out on that mat, that it's you versus this one guy. And then I remember my first couple of years, my biggest issue was I'd kind of psych myself out. I'd get really concerned with being in front of a crowd or being at a big tournament and, you know, wanting to perform in front of everybody and, like, not so much wrestling to win, but wrestling not to lose, because I was so afraid of losing in front of the crowd. Sometimes I would psych myself out. So my biggest helper, I guess, from last year and even this year has been to kind of stay calm and, like Dakota was saying, wrestle your match. Like, that's a really big deal. So that's definitely been one of my more bigger focuses, is just kind of stay focused, relax, you know, don't focus on the crowd. I mean, let them, like, feed you, because, you know, everyone loves being on that crowd. Everyone's shouting your name. Everyone's, you know, shouting for you to win and to do well. To let that feed you more than, you know, kind of hold you back, that's probably been one of my bigger focuses for the year.
We're talking with Boise State Wrestling on Bronco Tuesday. It's 8:46.
Now, back to Bronco Tuesday with Chris, Paul, and Bob on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 8:48 on a Bronco Tuesday. Coach Mike Mendoza, Austin Dewey, and Dakota Wall from Centennial High School. All right, guys, you're from Centennial, local school. A lot of family involvement, parental involvement involved in your decision to come here. And do you get a lot of support?
Yeah, actually, we had a lot of support. I feel like we get a lot of support being local kids, because not only did we go to a high school, but me and Dakota both wrestled for a local club called C Plus, and that expands kind of the family, if you call it.
Sure.
Just much, much broader, because then we get kids from all ages, and, you know, you meet parents and you make friends, and so the support actually grows a lot broader than one would think from just being from the high school. And then kind of the wrestling community is also a very tight-knit community. Everyone kind of knows everyone and wants to talk to everyone, just because wrestlers are kind of big family mentality, I guess you could say. So the support is a lot larger than you would think, and it's honestly really great sometimes. Just kind of, you know, go out there, like I said prior, that when you're wrestling, you know, people know your name, people know who you are, people are really going for you. So, like, man, that's, you know, a kid I grew up with, or that's a kid I coached, or, like, I was friends with him, and it's like, I want him to win, like, not because he's Boise State, but, like, I know him, you know.
Yeah, kind of
that
friend.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I kind of grew up watching Boise State wrestling, so coming here, I kind of have that same mentality, like, you know, you have people watching you that you know, and just kind of rooting for you and cheering for you, and it's a good feeling to have that background.
Coach, what's the first road trip going to be like for you? You came here from Cal State Bakersfield. You were the head coach there. You've coached before, but it has to be a little different feeling, doesn't it, starting your first meet with your new team?
Yeah, it's different. You know, we've spent the past 5 months together, and some guys even less than that, but it's it's different when you haven't spent time with these guys and know how they think, and, you know, some of the things that, you know, you can do as a coach to help these guys compete. It's getting to know them and know how they tick and know what's going to get them to perform. And so for me, it's going to be, this is great. I mean, I'm soaking it in. This Blue Orange this last weekend, the scrimmage was great, because it got to kind of see how guys perform when they're out there, you know, in competition, which is different than the practice room. So this weekend, you know, I'm just looking forward to really paying attention to the guys and you know, how they perform And it's going to really give us ideas, a coaching staff, you know, what we need to address as a team and then specifically individually with each guy.
Be nice to be macking on somebody you don't know, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the other great thing is obviously one of the things that you look for in competing is being able to see how our guys are competing against other guys that they've never faced. And they've never faced us, or maybe they have, but it's been quite some time. So, yeah, absolutely. Be able to see how these guys do against competition.
So you get somebody you don't know this weekend. Coach, what can you say between the rounds? Or maybe, you know, you watch the coaches on the sidelines. Some guys are pretty active and pretty animated. What can you say during the match to help these guys?
Well, I think before the match even starts, just going back to what Dakota said earlier, is wrestle your match. And then as the match is going on, you can pay attention to certain things that the guy's doing technically. And sometimes these guys get in technical positions that you can coach them through on the mat. It's a match is there's it, a lot of times it can be the mental side, like Dewey is talking about, coaching the guys through the mental side, or it can be technical. So yeah, it's a kind of a broad question with a lot of answers.
How many wrestlers wrestle at once from Boise State? Could you have three or four out there?
Absolutely. There's eight.
How do you coach them?
We've got three coaches that'll be going out with us, and so there's eight mats out there, so we can have multiple guys up at once. But ideally, it's weight classes, and they're pretty big brackets. You know, you're gonna have 32-man bracket or at least a 16-man bracket, so there'll be a little bit spread out. You might have two or three guys up at one time.
Chance to scout other guys?
Oh yeah, throughout the tournament will be, but not. I mean, really, you got one guy coming up after another in a tournament. So,
Austin, how much time between matches, and what will you do between them?
In the beginning, I feel like you have more time just because there's more wrestlers going on at once. So, like maybe your brag's got like 32 guys, so they have to get all 32 guys wrestled before they can start the next weight, and then you got to go in one cycle. So, I think average legs. I've been there a couple times. You get about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And so when you first get there, before the match, you have to get a hard warm-up. I mean, like I said prior, that elevation is really high, so you got to blow out your lungs real hard. You got to hit a bunch of sprints and, like, get your body, like, warmed up and ready to go to, like, not be able to take in a lot of oxygen, which is not, you know, the best. And then, get out there, wrestle your match, get that W, and then get off the mat. And then, like Dakota said, get a good cool down, which is, you know, some good jogging, some light stretching, you know, kind of let your body, like, relax itself, but, like, by staying active. And then once you've gotten your cool down, you need to hydrate. You need to get a little food in you just so you're not running out of energy, because that's probably your worst enemy.
All right, guys, we are out of time. It's 8:54. We've been talking with Boise State Wrestling head coach Mike Mendoza, Austin Dewey, and Dakota Wall.
Now, back to Bronco Tuesday with Chris, Paul, and Bob on 670 KBOI.
All right, our thanks to Bronco Wrestling for being here today. Head Coach Mendoza, Austin Dewey, and Dakota Wall. Coming up next, Idaho Talks Live. We're going to talk this morning about things besides the presidential race that are at stake in this election season.
Yeah, stuff that will be decided 1 week from today.
Whether you like it or not.
Exactly.
It's 8:56. We'll be back. A lot of places charge for every little thing they do, and that can add up to a big surprise. But if you need a plumber, one business wants to make sure you know all the options before you pay a dime. Hi, Paul Jay here from Meridian Plumbing, your safe choice plumber for over 30 years. Being the safe choice means they'll come out for free, take a look at what's wrong, and provide you with all the options, and you won't pay a dime until you know what's wrong. The options to fix it and the cost of each one. From Boise to Caldwell, Meridian Plumbing has you covered with over 130 years of combined plumbing experience. They're fully licensed, insured, and rated 4.9 on Google with 73 reviews. Repairs, replacements, or new installation, Meridian Plumbing is the safe choice to fix all of your plumbing problems. Call 888-7555. That's 888-7555 or see meridian-plumbing.com.
If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
We are back again, thanks to BSU Wrestling, KBOI News Time 906. A lot of stuff happening in the election. Also, a lot of stuff up for grabs besides president and vice president, right, Chris?
That's about right,
yes.
There are other things going on. First off, medical marijuana will probably, after next Tuesday, end up being legal in a majority of states. And the number of states with legalized recreational marijuana could also double. This year, the issue of medical marijuana scored a place on ballots in Florida, North Dakota, and Arkansas. And a yes in any one of those places would legalize medical marijuana in a majority of U.S. states. Right now, recreational marijuana is legal in four states, and that could go up to eight. The number of states banning the death penalty could reach a new high, 21. Since 1846, when Michigan became the first English-speaking government in the Western world to ban capital punishment, the number of states with a moratorium on the practice has grown. This year, voters in California, Nebraska, and Oklahoma will decide state initiatives on the topic. If California and Nebraska ban the use of capital punishment, that will make a total of 21 states where executions are completely illegal. Oklahomans, on the other hand, are voting on whether to enshrine the death penalty in their state constitution, which would make it easier for the state to carry out executions in the future. So, you know, conflicting things going on there.
True.
Maine might become America's biggest voting experiment. Let's say that you're fed up with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump both, and you might be interested in voting for a third-party candidate, but you don't want to risk throwing the election to the candidate you dislike the most. An experiment in Maine could offer a solution. Question 5 on the state ballot proposes replacing Maine's current electoral system with ranked choice voting, allowing voters to express their numerical preferences for all state offices. When ballots are tallied, if no candidate has more than 50% of voters' first choices, then the least popular candidate will be eliminated. His or her supporters would have their top-ranked candidate crossed off their ballots, and their votes would fall to their second-ranked candidate.
Now, you've confused me. So if you got three people running for an office, at least one goes out, and then you're going to have 50% because it'll be one out of two.
Yeah, pretty much. But what you do is, you decide
if you have four.
If you decide, like, who's number one, who's number two, and who's number three on your ballot, I guess.
So it doesn't matter if... But then you said they need 50% of the vote.
If no candidate has more than 50%, then, again, the least popular candidate is eliminated.
And you re-vote?
And those who support of that individual... Let's say that in Maine, Donald Trump has 48% of the vote, Hillary Clinton has 45% of the vote, and then there's a third write-in candidate or somebody else, maybe Gary Johnson rest of it. But then nobody got over 50%, so Gary Johnson is off the ballot, and then you go from people's first choice, if they had Gary Johnson,
vote for three.
There we go, yeah. And you tell them who your first choice and your second choice are.
That'll never, ever work.
Then let's say that second choice,
a
lot of people, it goes to Hillary Clinton, and she ends up with 50% or more, or Donald
Trump. I thought we were just going to have revote after revote after revote.
Nah.
Until somebody got 50%.
Now, while Maine would be the first state to adopt such a system, San Francisco, Oakland, St. Paul, and Minneapolis currently use ranked choice voting, as does the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences in selection of the Academy Award for Best Picture. How's that?
Swell.
Massachusetts could be the first state to regulate how chickens and cows live. Massachusetts isn't a large producer of eggs or meat, but animal rights groups and national trade associations are paying close attention to the state this year. Question 3 on the Massachusetts ballot would require giving farm animals enough space to lie down, stand up, extend their limbs, and turn around, essentially banning inhumane confined animal feeding operations. Which would probably also ban puppy farms, I'm guessing.
Well, Yeah. And, you know, this is the kind of stuff you don't want to see.
Now, here's something.
We have to do something about
that. Here's something I bet a lot of people didn't know. Washington, D.C. could take a big step toward statehood. After years of decrying the sad state of taxation without congressional representation for D.C. residents, Mayor Muriel Bowser decided to try a new but also old method to push for statehood, modeling the approach on the one Tennessee used in 1796 when the territory first approved a state constitution and then applied for statehood. D.C. ballots will give voters the opportunity to authorize the city council to approve a constitution for the proposed state of New Columbia. It may not be enough to move Congress to grant statehood to the district, but longtime advocates for the cause are holding out hope that a clear mandate from the city's residents could force the government into action. But I think, as most of us know, nothing forces the government into action.
Yeah, I think that's ridiculous. Let me go on record.
Well, and to be fair, the whole reason that the national capital was put there was because it wasn't in a state.
Correct.
You know, they decided it would be just simply a federal district.
Exactly. And so it was. All right. A new poll shows Donald Trump has made up 13 points in 2 weeks. And now guess who likes polls?
Donald Trump.
Nice. 7-13.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. KBOI rewards code 6, S-I-X. I'll be able to spell that without me spelling it. 6. Go to 670KBOI.com, enter the word 6. Enter today's word 6 and win 5,000 rewards points.
I'll just say this. Based
it's
on,
6 on game 6, right?
Based on some of the spelling I get in some of these instant messages, I would say go ahead and spell out every word.
S-Y-X.
Just in case. No, S-I-X. Okay, good. Hmm. 6 Stadium was where the Seattle Pilots played in 1969.
True.
Named after beer baron Emil Six, which was S-I-C-K-S.
Right.
Oh. Not a great name for a stadium.
No. Donald Trump now leads Hillary Clinton for the first time since May, according to my computer.
According to your computer?
Computer.
All right.
No, according to an ABC New York Post, New York Times, that my computer's going absolutely berserk. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump leads Hillary Clinton first time since May.
Your computer can't believe it either.
According to the ABC, but guess who does? According to the ABC News, Washington Post, daily tracking poll. While Trump's edge is 1 point, which is well within the margin of error, the Republican candidate, according to this poll, in 2 weeks has made up 13 points. Trump, who used to read off every poll he led during rallies, but had begun to call them inaccurate after he started to decline, has decided he likes them again, or at least he likes this one.
Mm-hmm.
Here's his tweet from yesterday. Wow. Now leading an ABC Washington Post poll, 46-45, gone up 12 points in 2 weeks, mostly before the crooked Hillary blow-up.
Okay, yeah, that does sound like him.
Sounds like Trump, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But not everyone wants to capitalize on the poll. Listen to this. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich called the new poll absurd. And here's his tweet. Washington Post ABC poll is an absurdity. Trump has not moved up 13 points in the last 8 days. Ready for the kicker? He was never 12 points behind. Oh. Ignore the polls.
Okay. So there was a bit of a mixed message there. It sounded like, no, Trump isn't doing nearly that well. And then he said, the polls are stupid. He was always ahead.
And then he said, ignore them.
Yeah.
At this point in 2012, Mitt Romney led President Obama by 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
The daily tracking poll was conducted October 27th through the 30th, included 1,128 likely voters, a margin of error 3 points.
Isn't that funny? This poll, they took it, the last day of the poll was 2 days ago, and we're already wondering, gee, I wonder if that's still good.
Well, because of all the stuff that's come out.
Yeah.
A lot of the...
Do you think anything it has to do with the FBI looking into what Hillary Clinton
came out
one more time?
Before then, Chris.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Well, part of it did anyway. Part of the voting came out before this.
Well, just one day of it, I think.
Yeah. Justice Department in charge of informing Congress about the newly reactivated Hillary Clinton email probe is a political appointee and former private practice lawyer who kept Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta out of jail, lobbied for a tax cheat. This is Fox, obviously.
Okay.
Later pardoned by President Bill Clinton and led the effort to confirm Attorney General Loretta Lynch. His name is Peter Kadzik, was confirmed as Assistant Attorney General for Legislative Affairs back in June of 2014. He represented Podesta in 1998 when independent counsel Kenneth Starr, remember him?
I do.
Was investigating Podesta for his possible role in helping ex-Bill Clinton intern and mistress Monica Lewinsky get a job in the United Nations. Fantastic lawyer. Get me out of jail. Podesta wrote September 8th, 2008, to Obama aide Cassandra Butts.
Yeah, I was going to say, I bet that wasn't a tweet, because that would be a weird thing to admit publicly.
Yeah.
I love this lawyer. He kept me out of jail, because nothing else was going to.
Yeah, this is an email hack from Podesta's Gmail account, posted by the fine folks down at WikiLeaks. Kadzik's name has surfaced multiple times in regard to the FBI's investigation of Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton for using a private homebrewed server. After FBI Director James Comey informed Congress Thursday, the FBI was...
It was made public Friday.
Reviving its inquiry, right.
Yeah.
When new evidence linked to a separate investigation was discovered, congressional leaders wrote to the Department of Justice seeking more information.
Here's what I like in the story that came out over the weekend in the New York Post. I mean, the whole world knew they were talking about Anthony Weiner.
Yes.
But the way they wrote it was the FBI has revealed very little to the public about the new emails under investigation, except that they were uncovered during an unrelated investigation into the estranged husband of a top Clinton aide.
Well, golly, who would that be?
Gee whiz, that narrows it down, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But now this is the Reuters Ipsos poll that I'm talking about.
Okay.
And it's only slightly different. They have Hillary Clinton right now at 44% and Donald Trump at 39%. So she still has a 5-point lead in that poll.
In that poll. So who's got all the other, a lot of undecided?
I told you what the best line I heard yesterday was. Somebody said, well, the Cubs are down 3-2 in the World Series, if the polls can be believed.
That was funny.
Well, yeah.
That was funny.
I like that because, of course, that has nothing to do with polls.
Exactly.
Maybe the foul poll.
Unless the fix is in.
Yeah. In a separate poll that included alternative party candidates, 43% supported Clinton, 37% supported Trump, 6% supported Gary Johnson, and there were still 1% that were going for Jill Stein of the Green Party. But probably 1% and falling, I'm guessing.
Yeah. You wonder what her motivation is. What would your motivation be if you were getting 1%? Have no money, no support.
Well, just to make a point. You know, and I think the people in the Green Party just want to make sure that they stay in the limelight somewhat.
Well, she's not really in the limelight.
I didn't mean to use green and lime in the same sentence.
Department of Justice responsible for approving the FBI's warrant applications and ultimately for convening a grand jury. Fox News has previously confirmed the Justice Department was opposed to James Comey making public the latest Clinton revelations.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't stop him. Kadzik had been an attorney with Dick Stein Shapiro, LLP, for 18 years before he represented Podesta in the Clinton-Lewinsky investigation. He was hired in 2000 as a lobbyist for tax cheat Mark Rich. Boy, dragging up all these old names.
Yeah.
He was, if this is a word, controversially granted a pardon by President Bill Clinton during Clinton's final days in office. Kadzik got the job because he was trusted by White House Chief of Staff John Podesta, was considered to be a useful person.
And who isn't in jail.
No. KBOI News Time 9:26.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back, Paul, Jay, and Chris, on a Tuesday morning. FBI Director James Comey's letter to Congress regarding an unexpected development in his agency's investigation of Hillary Clinton's private email server was brief and vague, creating a vacuum that has been filled by distorted claims, mostly from the campaign of Clinton opponent Donald Trump.
Yeah, it always leaves out the first questions that you would ask. Yeah. Hey, we found more email. First question. Yeah, what's in them?
Yeah.
I don't know yet.
Trump strung together a series of debunked claims about Clinton's use of a private server while Secretary of State to conclude that this is bigger than Watergate. Trump also repeated his unsupported claim that Clinton's criminal action was willful, deliberate, intentional, and purposeful. The FBI found no evidence that Clinton intended to violate laws or classified information. Now, this is a fact finder that has come up with these conclusions. Mike Pence, Trump's running mate, claimed that Clinton continues to refuse to turn over some 33,000 emails, but Clinton's non-work-related emails were deleted more than a year ago, so they don't exist. She doesn't have them to turn over. And the Trump campaign insists, and who knows if they're right or not, that they still exist. Clinton claimed that the FBI letter to Congress was sent to Republican members of the House and was only going originally to Republican members of the House. Both of these claims are false by Hillary Clinton. Mm.
Interesting.
Clinton's campaign chairman claimed the FBI review of the new emails might not be about Clinton's server, but about somebody else's. But the FBI has said it's reviewing the emails that appear to be pertinent to the investigation of Clinton's personal email server. So both campaigns making claims that are untrue.
Or unsubstantiated, anyway.
How do you feel about this whole...
I'm used to it.
Email about this whole email server thing.
The thing that's always bothered me about it is that this is the one time that apparently Hillary Clinton is allowed to play dumb.
I didn't know what I was doing. You know, it's okay. There was nothing to it. I don't think anybody hacked it. I wiped it clean, like with a cloth.
The thing that bothers me about...
Hey, I'm an expert on everything. Apparently, except this.
Are the sheer numbers
of,
you know, what, the 300,000 emails?
Well, okay, and the other part is that...
really? In two years, you sent 300,000 emails?
And the other part is, well, I think I've deleted that many on this computer in the last 2 years.
In the last 2 weeks.
Probably, exactly. The thing that gets me is that... After being told to turn over the emails, then that's when she deleted a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think
I don't think
that's the way an investigation is supposed to work. Yeah, like, hey, bring us anything down to the police station from our house from your house that would indicate that you committed this murder.
Oops.
And if there's anything that we don't need to see, just leave it home.
Oops. On October 28th, was that last Friday?
Mm-hmm.
The FBI director sent a three-paragraph letter to Congress, which said basically FBI investigators during the course of an unrelated investigation, this is what you talked about.
Anthony Weiner,
found the existence of emails that appear to be pertinent to its prior investigation into Clinton's use of a private email server.
Well, and here's the thing
when
about,
she was Secretary of State.
Here's the thing about emails existing or not existing, too. When you send an email to Hillary Clinton, you still have a copy of it. Okay, when she sends an email to you, you still have a copy of it, too.
True.
So emails are always between at least two people. And it doesn't matter if she wiped her entire computer clean.
Those
emails may be out there somewhere.
Yeah. The letter said the FBI will review those emails to determine whether they contain classified information, as well as to assess their importance to our investigation. Comey wrote that the FBI cannot yet assess whether this material may be significant or how long the review will take. Now, this leads to some people saying that if Hillary Clinton wins the election, she might be the first president to be investigated and go to jail.
Well, she won't be the first one to be investigated, but yeah, might be the first one to go to jail.
Yeah. Comey wrote, the FBI cannot yet assess whether the material may be significant or if it's going to take a long time or not. Multiple news reports citing anonymous law enforcement officials said emails were found on a computer owned, as you said, by Anthony Weiner, who is the estranged husband of Huma Abedin, a longtime Clinton aide and former deputy chief of staff at the State Department. Now, this news came more than 3 months after Comey announced back on July 5th that the FBI had completed its investigation, and the FBI recommended no charges be brought against Clinton or her aides for mishandling classified information.
And to be fair, completed the investigation simply means we've gone through everything we've got.
Yeah.
And we didn't find necessarily anything that would warrant a jail term. And then all of a sudden, more stuff shows up.
Yeah, and your contention is there's new stuff.
Yeah, there's new stuff, so investigation back open. Now, on, you know, this coming Thursday or something, they could close it again. The whole point is they're looking at stuff they didn't have before.
The FBI's review of potentially new evidence comes less than 2 weeks before Election Day, the lack of hard information and the timing of the FBI's announcement have created conditions ripe for distortions. So they're saying things are being distorted and the people...
Well, you know, and it's like she said, she signed up for that. It's a campaign.
That's true.
If things are distorted, you
know? That's true. How?
I understand you had bad thoughts once. Tell us what they were. Did you act on these thoughts? Are you sure? You know, there's everything.
Now you're
sounding and like I said, it's
Catholic.
It's both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mean to, you know, be talking about venial sins and stuff like that, but
if you look at it, if you think about it, if you want one of those,
you don't have to. You've already done it.
Yeah, you've already sinned.
However, in you know, according to the law, that's the law of the land. That's not the way they work.
Yeah.
Well, except for hate crimes.
Yeah.
In the case of hate crimes, if you thought about it, apparently that's part of the sentence you'll get.
Once again, I go back to how in the world could the Democrats pick Hillary Clinton to be their candidate for president?
Well, and as I've said, and this is kind of a deal going on right now with the Republicans and the Democrats.
And I would ask that question both about them, the Republicans as well.
Both parties narrowed it down to one person, and neither of those persons is terribly popular with the American public. Now, yes, there are people who would kill for Donald Trump. There are people who apparently would kill for Hillary Clinton as well.
I hate that.
Well, but for the most part, the majority of America says, do you really want one of these people to be your president more than anybody else? And there aren't a lot of yes answers out there, which is why I said it would be good to have a whole discussion where Trump supporters simply said good things about Trump, but weren't allowed to mention Hillary Clinton.
And we're going to try that on Monday.
And vice versa, Hillary Clinton supporters would be able to say good things about Hillary, why she should be president, without mentioning the opposition. You know, just have a discussion where you tell us the good reasons, the good things about this person without necessarily saying that the best thing about them is they aren't the other person.
We're going to try that on Monday, see if you can do it, and we're going to have a big buzzer. And when you refer to the other candidate, bam.
Could be a small buzzer.
No, I want a
big buzzer. Why should Trump be president? You know, and a lot of people, you say that. You say, well, why should Trump be president? Well, because Hillary Clinton's a crook.
And,
okay, that didn't tell me why Trump should be president.
Yeah.
Why should Hillary be president? Well, because Trump doesn't know any. Okay, again, that's not what we're looking for.
Yeah. So we're going to do that on Monday.
Okay.
So write down
the day before the
your
election.
Reasons for liking your candidate
without
mentioning the other candidate.
You've got 6 days to do it. You ought to be able to come up with one.
KBOI News Time, 9:46.
Another suspect in a local murder investigation has been arrested. Details coming up on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 9:50. At a rally in Manchester, New Hampshire, Friday. That's the day the FBI directors announced the latest Hillary email things, referring to the scandal that led... Trump claimed that this is bigger than Watergate, in my opinion. Referring, of course, to the scandal that led to the resignation of President Richard Nixon and the conviction of numerous others. Fact checker once again says Trump's case is weak. He supports his conclusion by distorting the facts to fit his conspiracy theory, mostly by repeating already debunked claims about Clinton's emails. Now, once again, neither Chris nor I support much either one of these candidates, and people are going to call and say, well, you Hillary Clinton lover? No, not at all.
I don't even like the sound of that.
No. Now, Paul J., does Hillary not knowing that she violated any type of law exclude her from that?
No. Ignorance of the law is no excuse, right, Chris?
Yeah, it's it's bliss, but it's not an excuse.
Yeah, ignorance is bliss, but is there a jail in bliss?
Yeah.
Might be.
I'm sure there is.
All right. Trump on October 28th. But real change also means getting rid of the corruption in Washington. And again, maybe that's happened. Wow, we have a big day. No, think of it. I won my first primary in New Hampshire, and I'm getting here, and the news this morning is bigger than Watergate. This is bigger than Watergate, in my opinion. Okay. This is bigger than Watergate.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Possibly 3 weeks ago now.
Mm-hmm.
When all of this started to come out about Trump being accused of, you know, groping women, et cetera, and, you know, what they had him saying on a bus to Billy Bush. Essentially, Hillary supporters were saying, that's it. We've been handed the election. It's over.
Yeah.
And
yeah, true.
I don't know why they thought that, because for the past entire year, every 2 weeks, people forgot about whatever happened 2 weeks ago.
No question.
You know, and it's been everything.
Both of these candidates.
There are plenty of people voting for Hillary Clinton that know the different things that she's been accused of. And, you know, they know the different times that she's been investigated and they've found nothing or they have found something, either one. But it's like, well, that's all in the past. You know, as if, nobody's an HR director. Let's put it that way.
People are overlooking more stuff than they ever have in any presidential election.
And with both candidates, HR directors have to look at your past and predict what you're going to do in the future. Human resources people, which just used to be the people that hired, you know. That's it, the hiring director.
Yeah.
They have to look at people's past and predict what they're going to do in the future. Both of these candidates have essentially said, that's not how we do this. You can't look at what I've done in the past and predict what I'm going to do in the future. Just listen to what I say and assume I'm telling the truth.
Yeah.
And whichever one you think is not telling the truth, assuming there's only one that you think that about, then vote for the other one.
Yeah. Yeah. Trump went on to, Hillary bleached and deleted 33,000 emails after receiving a congressional subpoena.
Yeah, you don't do that.
No.
I mean, that's, as far as I'm considering, let's put it this way. It's a criminal act, essentially, to get a subpoena and to erase things that you think they won't need.
Wouldn't it be like tampering with evidence or destruction of evidence?
It would be exactly like tampering with evidence.
Yeah.
Now, chances are there was nothing in those emails that would have implicated anybody.
Yeah.
But, on the other hand, we don't know that, do we?
Fact checker says, because
we haven't seen them.
Fact checker says Trump is right that these emails were deleted 3.5 weeks after Clinton received the subpoena on March 4th from a Republican-controlled House committee investigating the Benghazi incident.
Now, did they say we'd like to see...
No.
...any pertinent emails, or did they say we'd like to see your emails?
The pertinent emails. She made 13 phones disappear, some with a hammer. Trump also said that. It's true, the FBI said it identified 13 total mobile devices, which potentially were used to send emails using Clinton's ClintonEmail.com email addresses. Only 8 of the 13 were used while Clinton was Secretary of State. But still, they were, you know. The Clinton's crew gave more than $675,000 to the wife of the deputy director of the FBI. He says Clinton crew, but isn't talking about Clinton or anyone in the Clinton campaign. And son of a gun, if we're not out of time. A lot of stuff going on out there. Something to think about with Mike Rogers is coming up next. Brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Check them out on the World Wide Web at boisechurch.org or stop by Sunday at 10 o'clock at 2000 North El Dorado.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
It's October, and it's World Series time. For one 97-year-old World War II veteran named Jim Schlegel, it's even more special. Like all Cubs fans, Jim had to wait 71 years to see his team make it to the World Series. Unlike most, he was at Wrigley Field to experience it the last time around, back in 1945. A ticket then cost Jim about $7.50. Today, they're as high as $23,000. Jim had all but given up the idea of making it to the series. In came Marcus Lemonis, a businessman with a show on CNBC. When Marcus heard about it, he got in touch with Jim and offered him two front row tickets. Jim took a picture with his Cubs hat on and went to Twitter to thank Marcus. "I appreciate your generosity and hope we can bring in a winner." Paying it forward, Chicago style. Here's to a great series. Enjoy the game, Jim. I'm sure it'll be worth the wait. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.